fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ethiopian athletes dominated Friday's Dubai Marathon in the United Arab Emirates, where Olika Adugna and Worknesh Degefa won the men's and women's titles. In his debut at the marathon distance, Adugna had a winning time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 15 seconds. Meanwhile, Worknesh Degefa won her second Dubai Marathon women's title, clocking 2 hours, 19 minutes, and 38 seconds. Overall, Ethiopian women took the first 9 places in Dubai, and in the men's race, Ethiopian athletes also controlled the top 10, with the only non-Ethiopian, the second-place finisher, Kenya's Eric Kiptanui. At the finish, Adugna followed the initial sprint of Kiptanui from 500 meters out, then overtook him after another 100 meters. Kiptanui finished 2 seconds behind Adugna with a time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 17 seconds. For their victories in Dubai on Friday, Olika Adugna and Worknesh Degefa each won first-place prizes of $100,000. A pretty good payday for sure. In African football, the draw was held this week for the second round of African qualifying for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. 40 African teams were placed into 10 groups of 4 each. Group B features Mali, Uganda, Kenya, and Rwanda. Uganda's head coach, Jonathan McKinstry, says the group provides the greatest opportunity for the Ugandan Cranes to qualify for the World Cup. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda Cranes head coach, Jonathan McKinstry, believes his team can finish on top of Group E that has fellow East Africans, Kenya and Rwanda, as well as West African Mali.
Uganda football has been on the rise in recent years. They really have been, and we want to keep that rise going. And this World Cup group, it provides great opportunity. There's challenges in it, but there's great opportunity now.
McKinstry is very much aware of the threat Mali, the top seed in this group, possesses. Mali has groomed players from youth levels, starting with the under-17s. The Mali youth teams have participated at major soccer tournaments and managed a third-place finish at the 2015 FIFA Under-20 World Cup. A majority of players graduating into the Mali national team. Most of Mali players play their trade in top-level European leagues. But McKinstry is equally worried about the East African derbies.
Obviously, Uganda in recent years has done better than our neighbours. But, you know, these games, it's not always logical how derby games go. You look at when, you know, anywhere around the world, a derby game can throw up surprising results. So we've got to make sure, both here in Kampala, but also when we travel to Kigali and to Nairobi, that we put on really professional performances, and also that the supporters get behind us. And, you know, not just it's great for the supporters, because not only in the home games, but there's also opportunity to come and support us in the away games.
Julius Juma reports for KTN News in Nairobi, Kenya. Juma describes Group E as a golden opportunity for an East African nation to qualify for the 2022 FIFA World Cup.
What each of the countries need to do, actually East African nations need to do, they need to take advantage of their home games, because the fan base is usually massive. Look at Nambole Stadium in Kampala. Look at the Kasarani Stadium in Nairobi. The home fans usually flood. Yani, a clear indication that if the home teams take advantage, if Harambee Stars take advantage, if Uganda Cranes take advantage, then there is a golden opportunity for each of the nations, actually one of these nations, to make a maiden bow at the World Cup.
Dalen Cheyune, a sports analyst and reporter in Uganda, rates Mali and Uganda as the strong contenders for Group E winners.
Uganda, among the East African countries, stands the biggest chance of qualifying to the World Cup because, one, they face familiar opponents in Rwanda and Kenya, and of course Uganda has got their number at regional tournaments. However, the challenge comes with qualifiers of this nature. When familiarity breeds contempt, I think if the Cranes master the art over the 4 derbies they have against Kenya and Rwanda, they will stand a big chance to progress, and then they can sort the other 2 matches against Mali, both home and away.
40 countries in 10 groups are competing for the only 5 slots available for African countries' participation at the Qatar 2022 World Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Samson Omale joins us now with more African football news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with this weekend's CAF Champions League fixtures. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Zamalek and TP Mazembe, two former winners, will be battling for Group A top spot, with DR Congo Giants TP Mazembe having already qualified for the quarterfinals. But Egyptian football powerhouse Zamalek will also be looking to avenge the 3-0 defeat they suffered against Mazembe in DRC when the two teams meet in Cairo later today. Zambian champions Zesco United and Angolan side Primeiro do Agosto will both be looking to register their maiden win in Group A when they clash in Ndola on Saturday. Meanwhile, Tunisian outfit Etoile du Sahel will be needing a point in order to qualify for the knockout phase when they face record 8-time winners Al Ahly in Group B clash in Egypt on Saturday. Zimbabwean side FC Platinum will be desperate for their first win in Group B when they lock horns with Sudanese giant Al Hilal in Bulawayo on the same day, while former Moroccan champions Wydad Casablanca will be looking to secure their spot in the knockout phase with a win over Algerian side USM Alger in the Group C match in Morocco on Friday. South African champions Mamelodi Sundowns will be keen to ensure they win Group C with a victory against Angolan giant Petro de Luanda in Angola on Saturday. Lastly, Tunisian giant Esperance de Tunis and Moroccan football heavyweights Raja Casablanca will be battling for Group D top spot when they meet in raids on the same day. DR Congo's AS Vita Club will be hoping to record their first win in Group D when they square off with Algerian giant JS Kabylie in Kinshasa on Saturday. Staying with football news, the Confederation of African Football has invited Wharton Libya to replace Tunisia in the upcoming African Nations Championship finals in Cameroon. The Tunisians withdrew from the tournament strictly for locally based African players because clubs were reluctant to release their players. Tunisia beat Libya, the 2014 champions, 3-1 on aggregate to book a place in the finals that are due to kick off in April. In transfer news, Italy's Inter Milan on Thursday announced the signing of former Nigerian international Victor Moses on loan from Premier League club Chelsea with an option to buy. Victor Moses scored 5 goals and had 2 assists in 23 appearances for Fenerbahce. His new club, Inter Milan, are currently at second spot with 47 points in Italy's Serie A. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Tony Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Friday was a day of upsets at the Australian Open in Melbourne. Seven-time Australian Open champion Serena Williams of the United States is packing her bags, as is defending women's champion Naomi Osaka of Japan. But Swiss star Roger Federer, a six-time Australian Open champion, avoided elimination in a five-set thriller. Craig Gabriel was courtside on Friday in Melbourne.
Roger Federer was almost on skid row. He was involved in a gritty battle with Australian John Millman for a place in the Australian Open fourth round. At the 2018 US Open, Millman had stunned Federer in the fourth round, and it looked like that was on the cards again. In arguably the best men's match of the tournament so far, Federer constantly was under pressure. Even when he was up 2-1, you got the feeling there was no assurances, especially the way Millman was playing in front of a full house. Millman pushed the match to a fifth. Both men were coming up with ferocious returns, with Millman being the seventh Australian Federer has played at the Australian Open. Millman went up 8-4 in the final set super tiebreak, 2 points from the match, but Federer then reeled off 6 straight points for victory. He powered a forehand winner and raised his arms, 4-6, 7-6, 6-4, 4-6, 7-6.
It's a very, very tight balance. You have to choose there, but yeah, I mean, it's happened to me in the past against me. It's happened in the past for me as well. And this one definitely was unique in many ways, you know, that I was able to turn a super break around like this in an atmosphere. It was crazy. It was fun. And I couldn't be more happy, of course, you know. Big relief.
Federer keeps his record against Aussies intact at the Aussies Open. And this was his 100th match win at the event. It was a day of turning tables and upsets. At the US Open, Serena Williams had beaten Wang Cheng for the loss of just one game. This time, the Chinese player came back to win 6-4, 6-7, 7-5.
Yeah, I was optimistic that I would be able to win. I thought, okay, now I'll finish this off. I honestly didn't think I was going to lose that match.
At the US Open, Naomi Osaka beat Coco Gauff 6-3, 6-love. The remarkable 15-year-old is the first American woman in 30 years to reach the third round of her first three majors, and she beat Osaka 6-3, 6-4. She was asked if this was one of her best wins.
I don't really have a ranking list for that, but definitely it has to be somewhere around the top. I thought I played really well today, and I was really composed and pretty calm.
Caroline Wozniacki is now officially retired. The former world number one and major winner lost to Ons Jabeur, but already declared this would be her last event. And one more upset. Milos Raonic beat Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets. So you see, it really was quite a day. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa. Your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're exactly 6 months away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. The games begin on July 24th and go through August 9th. Ahead of the Olympics, the Japanese government is trying to decide what to do with the buildup of both treated and contaminated water held in tanks at the site of the 2011 Fukushima disaster. Reuters reporter Libby Hogan has more.
At Japan's wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant, workers in protective suits are still removing radioactive material from reactors. Reuters was given exclusive access to the site, where 9 years ago the plant melted down. A massive earthquake and tsunami knocked out the plant's power and cooling. The decommissioning process will likely take decades, but there's a choice Japan must make soon. They must decide what to do with the rows and rows of tanks that hold radioactive and treated wastewater, because they're running out of space. An expert panel last year said there should be two choices: either let the water evaporate or dilute it, then dump in the ocean. Masato Kino is the official in charge of the water.
If we discharge treated water into the sea and look at it only through a scientific lens without more careful consideration, damage to Fukushima's reputation may happen again. As the government, we have to solve the issue of treated water. Otherwise, it may cause further trouble for people in the fishing industry and here in Fukushima.
This year, Tokyo will host the Olympics. Some events will be less than 60 kilometers from plants, small parts of which are still highly radioactive. TEPCO, which operates the site, says it works to relay information to visitors. Officials say food from Fukushima and fish from waters around it have been tested for contamination and are safe. But the build-up in water has alarmed neighbouring countries. Athletes from at least one country, South Korea, have said they will bring their own radiation detectors and food.
Thanks, Libby. That's Reuters reporter Libby Hogan. With more Australian Open tennis news, here's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
Fire and rain plagued the early days of the Australian Open tennis tournament before clear weather returned to Melbourne. Devastating bushfires in Australia have given all of the players a fresh perspective on their games, as men's defending champion Novak Djokovic notes.
Not pleasant to see this many people suffer the consequences of big force that is hard to stop, and at times nature shows us how in a way insignificant we are towards her, you know, and everyone is trying to do their best to understand what people, animals, ecosystems are going through in order to contribute in one way or another.
Another force of nature is age, which Djokovic, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal seem to be beating.
I think Roger has talked about this as well, and Rafa as well, that age is just a number, and you know, I think it's not just a cliche, but it's really something that I feel like three of us have really in common, and it's really the way we approach career and our everyday life. We've kind of found a way and formula to balance private professional life so that we are able to kind of excel in tennis and still be able to compete on the highest level after many years.
Those many years have taught the big three similar lessons.
We know what we need to do mentally also in this particular situation, so that gives us probably a little bit of an edge, but nevertheless, you know, everything has to kind of intertwine and everything has to be, I guess, in balance. When I say everything, I mean mental, physical, emotional, and then of course you need to have a luck on that day and for the stars to align to win a Grand Slam trophy.
Federer comes into the first major tennis tournament of the year without the same amount of playing time as most of the others.
I just haven't played proper matches in many, many weeks, and a lot of guys, probably 95% of the guys, are coming here with matches, so I'm not one of those guys. Now I have one, best of 5-2, which is even better. So I think for me, really the first three rounds are key to get going, to get used to the pressure.
Nadal doesn't feel the pressure of edging closer to Federer's record number of Grand Slam titles.
I don't care about 20 or 15 or 16, I just care about try to keep going, keep enjoying my tennis career, and it's not like 20 is the number that I need to reach. If I reach 20, fantastic. If I reach 21, better. If I reach 19, super happy about all the things that I did in my tennis career. No, I am very satisfied.
Nadal is simply happy to get off to a winning start as he tries for just his second Australian Open title.
Just try to do the things that I know that I can do it and just try to put myself on rhythm. That was my goal.
Nick Kyrgios has the advantage of playing on home soil and, of course, likes the atmosphere.
I've always felt the energy was pretty good here every time I came. Yeah, I mean, today was awesome. I played really well. I haven't played too many matches just for myself in the last couple months, so it was good to get the first one out of the way.
Among the women, Ash Barty is also enjoying playing in front of fellow Aussies.
It's a brilliant event to be a part of. You only get to play so many Australian Opens, so I think for me it's about enjoying the competition, enjoying the challenge and focusing on what I can do. I think there's not really much else I have to worry about, you know, in that regard. If it's a first round, if it's a final, if it's anything in between, it's still an amazing experience, so I think I just have to go out there and enjoy it.
She enters the tournament fresh off her first win on home soil in Adelaide.
Third time lucky, I suppose, isn't it? But the best part about this week is that, you know, I kind of fought and scrapped my way through and got better and better.
England's Lee Westwood claimed the Abu Dhabi Championship to win golf titles in four different decades on the European Tour. He credits his attitude on the course.
I don't want to say I don't care out there, but I'm trying to play like I don't care. You know, I'm still trying 110%, but I'm not worried if I miss a green or if I miss a putt or anything like that, and that contributes to playing relaxed, aggressive, control golf, really.
The 46-year-old shot a 5-under par 67 at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club to win the event for the first time, finishing at 19-under par, two shots ahead of English compatriots Tommy Fleetwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick, along with Victor Perez of France. Fleetwood says Westwood is an inspiration for players young and old.
Yeah, Lee is great for us all, really, for all ages. And I just think, you know, I'm sure people are going to use the word like longevity and, you know, stuff like that so often. But in all honesty, you know, he's looked after himself well over the years. I think he's got such a great attitude. And I've always enjoyed his passion, really, you know, to get up and keep practicing and keep working. And yeah, he's showing some of his best stuff at the moment.
Fleetwood will take aim for a win in Dubai this week, where he has yet to finish on top.
I actually love the course, and I feel like I can do better, and in a way I feel like, because I feel good on the golf course, I should do better, but that's not been the case. But as I've said many times before, that doesn't always follow, so looking forward to getting out there this year and hopefully do my best to improve again.
Westwood also has not won there and hopes to change that.
I certainly feel like, you know, I should have won this tournament once, but I enjoy playing this golf course, so I think when you enjoy doing something, then you know, you do it better. And you know, I've always felt comfortable on the Emirates golf course and played pretty well here in the past.
Li Haotong of China has won the event and returns with great memories.
Every hole when I walked through, I just had so many memories there, and especially that day against Rory. Pretty much just built me another confidence.
Westwood is ready to play, with a victory celebration still fresh in his mind.
A few beers, a few Guinness, chicken shawarma at 3 o'clock in the morning, watched the Liverpool game, watched the 49ers game, so great night.
British golfer Lee Westwood. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy golf and tennis package. And I encourage our VOA listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. Also, check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you go there today, Friday, you'll see a photo of Ghanaian athlete Alex Amankwa, who is hoping to compete at his second Olympics. We heard from Alex on Thursday's show. And that wraps up the January 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Rock and roll, America's finest export. Our culture and music of today are permanently indebted to the pioneers who trailblazed this musical tradition. Listen to Border Crossings on February 6th to hear rock's greatest musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, and Elvis Presley, only on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers at Cardiff University in Wales say they have discovered a new type of immune cell that could someday help provide effective therapy that would fight a wide range of cancers. The researchers found that immune cells known as T cells, armed with new receptors called MR1, can find and destroy human cancer cells such as lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cancers while ignoring the body's healthy cells. They were able to show in lab tests that MR1-modified T cells in melanoma patients could not only search and destroy the patient's own cancer cells, but could do the same to cancer cells in other patients. While the researchers admit that there are a number of obstacles to overcome, they say that if testing continues to be successful, it's hoped that this new treatment could be ready for use in a few years. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.